Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPNMMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And finally, before we get to the episode, do not forget to download the SGPN app because it is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. But of course, first you have to download it wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 84, I believe. I'm pretty sure the last one was 83, and I think 84 comes after 83, so we're going to go with this one being 84. And let's dedicate this one to a very special lady who just is having a birthday weekend this past weekend, or as you're listening to this. She has horrible taste in men, but I think she's pretty cool nonetheless. I'm hoping someone caught her a delicious bath and built her a cake for her birthday. So, and I know she'll hear this because she never misses an episode. She's our number one fan. So this goes out to you.
I'm going to be honest real quick. I'm going to jump in here. There's no way she's ever heard a single episode of the podcast.
You don't know who I'm talking about. And you're not introduced yet, so no one knows who you are, so you be quiet.
Maybe we should not introduce me, by the way.
Yes, so you just wait. My name's Jeff Fox. I'm your host, and I'm going to really quickly introduce my associate host because he deserves a beating after what happened to him yesterday. He took a beating yesterday. If you're listening to us on the MMA Gambling feed, thank you very much. If you're not listening to us on our feed, please subscribe to it so you can get our podcast quicker into your ear holes or wherever you stick our podcast. All right, my associate host is Mr. 80%, apparently is his nickname, but that doesn't apply for non-Tuesday nights. It does not apply on weekends, that's for sure. Son of Ichabod, the Bear Whisperer. I thought I had some other nicknames for him too. I think I had one that I just came up with. I can't remember now. Maybe it'll come to me later. But you may know him as a Danimal or Gumby. Or the guy who chokes with his picks as soon as the guy actually makes the UFC, then all of a sudden he can't pick his fights anymore. He only picks his fights correctly when he's on the Contender Series. That could be a nickname for him soon. He would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, the Braves are in the World Series, so wasn't a total wash for you, right?
Yeah, you can't damper my spirits. The Dodgers are gone. The Braves are in the World Series. I could have picked zero fights correct, which, by the way, it was trending that way. Yeah, it was trending that way after, the first five.
Six.
First six. Yeah. I was 0-6 at a point, and it didn't get much better, but the Braves are in the World Series.
Yes. what I want to know is why just everybody in the SGPN Slack, why are they all still like all over Dan? Dan, at, or Gumby, actually, that I believe they call you. What does Gumby think? Ask Gumby this, ask Gumby that. Gumby doesn't get picks right except, unless it's Tuesday, so why?
Because we, no make, one has an answer on, for we make money on Tuesday.
It's true. Tuesdays are when we make money, and we will be getting to that at the second half of the podcast when we will be giving you the picks for the penantulum. Is that the word, Dan?
Penultimate
episode of Dana White's Contender Series, right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
That's coming up. I mispronounced it because that's what I do on this show. That's my thing. All right. So, yeah, last night was, other than the Braves making the World Series, also there was actually a lot of fights this weekend. There was that KSW freak fight, which was fun, with like 800 pounds in the main event, or 760 pounds or something in the main event.
I didn't see. Did Pujanowski win that?
Yes, he did. He knocked him out, yes.
I don't usually miss KSW, but the Braves were on.
Yes, there was a lot. And then Fedor did like a three-piece in a soda on Timothy Johnson, knocked him out.
To see him still have one-touch KO power at this point.
Yeah, it's wild, eh?
Like, that was the same kind of power he harnessed to beat out my
your boyfriend, yeah.
My boyfriend, Andrei Arlovsky, years ago. And it was like, how still now does he have – not? Don't get me wrong, power is the last thing to go, right? Like, that's the thing about a heavyweight is, like, your power sticks around the longest. But, like, even when he had it years ago, it didn't seem right. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't look like he should be able to hit you hard. And then it just – like, what is he – how old is Fedor now?
Mid-40s, I would think, by now. It's not just the power. It's the hand speed, too. So fast.
Yeah, it wasn't even just like – you're right. It wasn't just like he loaded up on it. It was just a thing of beauty at that age, which is – he is 45. You were right, 45.
Yes.
Just turned 45.
And it's not like he was fighting a chump. Like, Timothy Johnson's one of the best.
He was ranked number two. He was ranked number two.
He fought for the interim title last fight, I think, right? Or something, or fairly recently at least. So, I think as long as no one touches Fedor, then he can win a fight. But if you get him on the chin, then it's going to be night. It doesn't matter how big you are, you'll be able to knock out Fedor. So, but yeah, as long as give him wrestlers that aren't going to punch him, and yeah, he can keep going. So,
it'll be interesting to see what they do next with him. I know we're not fantasy matchmaking Bellator right now. That's like not the podcast we run. But like, I'm ridiculously interested to see. Like, so they have a champ at heavyweight who he's already beaten. They have an interim champ who is like his protege and is waiting in the wings to fight the champ. He just beat the guy right after that, number two. So like, what do you do with him then? Right? Like, you got to go in search of like a fun fight, but like, what does Bellator have for like fun heavyweight fights at this stage of his career? So like, man, I don't know what's next for him, but it should be, it'd be interesting to see if they just let him jump his buddy for one last shot at the belt.
Yeah, get this, two straight knockout wins for him, and 4 out of 5 fights, he's 4-1 over the last 5, all via knockout.
Yeah.
How wild is that? He's 4-2 in Bellator.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
He can't eat punches, but like I said, he can dish him out still, so yeah.
And that's
pretty,
I mean, like,
wild.
Any heavyweight at that stage in their career can't dish it out, or can't take it, right? Like, that's the thing.
Yep. Very, very true. But we didn't have any money. I don't even know what the line was. What was the line on that fight?
He was a slight dog. He was like, I think I saw him +125, +130 area, which is a huge. But like, I mean, man, he looked better than that.
Yeah, I expected him to lose. So I wasn't. It's like Timothy Johnson's got, what, half of his wins come via knockout. So it's not like he's got pillow hands or anything. But like, he TKO'd Mitrione, he knocked out Terrell Fortune, so he's got knockouts in his names. But yeah, anyhow, that was a surprise. Good to see. And shockingly, he's not going to retire now.
Yeah.
I thought this was his retirement.
Well, how can you? You know, no offense to Tim Johnson, because I've even interviewed Tim Johnson before.
I was going to get to that. Yeah. That's why he lost.
Yeah, he is a guest of the Top Turtle podcast, and do you know who is it? Fedor.
Wouldn't that be a cat? If you had Fedor, that would be amazing.
I have met Fedor before. He is a very nice guy. He's, like, super polite. I met him one time. I think it was right after he started working for – or started with Bellator. Okay. I like Tim Johnson, but, like, that can't be Fedor's swan song, right? Like, and I know nobody gets to, like, pick their exit in this sport, right? Like, the sport chooses when you're done before you do most times. So, like, yeah, maybe he could just walk away with this right now. But, like, I don't know. Like, don't you at least want to see him against, like, Junior Dos Santos or Alistair Overeem or, like, one more like that? And, like, win or lose, go out like that. Or, worst-case scenario, let him fight for a title one more time.
Yep. It is true. So, yeah, interesting things. And I'm sure Scott Coker and Bellator couldn't be more happier with how things went down yesterday in Russia. Dan, on the other hand, not so happy about how things went down in Las Vegas. He liked how things went down in – yeah, they were at home in Atlanta, right? But
it was a home game.
Yeah, wasn't so happy with how things went down in Vegas, so – we're going to get to that one sec. First, let me tell you about WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. For example, they did the math for us here, guys. You bet $100, you'll get $200 free bet. Max wager is $750, so they will match it up to $1,500 for you there. And Dan actually gave out a pick last time, and it came through. Actually, it was a push. You had Bulls. Chicago minus 6, and they won by 6. So
yeah, I watched that one pretty intensely, being like, I was like, oh, they're going to put – they were up like fucking 14 with like a couple minutes to go and just like gave up some real lazy-looking baskets.
And now Dan's going to tell you what to bet on the World Series with the bonus.
Pickup. Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no,
yeah,
I won't.
You are. Yeah, you have to. WinBet needs you to do that, Dan.
No, who's I can tell you. How about I give you a basketball line I like?
Okay, fine. You have another line, do you?
Yeah, take the I'll give you two. Take the Bulls minus 2.5 against the Raptors tomorrow, and take the Bucks minus 3 against the Pacers. Pacers aren't going to hold that pace against that Bucks offense.
No, minus 3 is a very good line for that. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So get on WinBet, knew that. They got great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From booster parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com. Did you know I was going to ask you and you had stuff prepared or what?
No, I've been looking at basketball lines lately. Oh, look at this guy. I used to be really good at betting basketball. It used to be like one of the things that I used to supplement my bad MMA picks.
I actually never did that great of basketball. I think about it. Me and my associate I was betting with, he went on tilt and blew all our money on some huge bet at the end there. And yeah, that was the end of that. So
it was baseball this year for me. Baseball was very nice, as it continues to be very nice for me.
How about MMA, Dan? How's your Saturday night MMA pick?
You had to specify. How are your Saturday night? Over the last couple weeks, not great.
That's because Superfan Jong in the Slack channel is always defending you. Say, well, it doesn't matter if he sucks on Saturday because Tuesdays, he's 80% on Tuesdays. So
I'm not going to be 80% this upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah, you can get 4.8 fights, right? Can't you? No?
We could get a draw, I guess.
We could. We got
points,
a draw last night, and we got
taken away
up
quickly,
some money
too,
there.
In the main event. The main event was almost a draw.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so we're talking about Costa versus Vittoria, that wacky. It was bound to be wacky, even without all the weight cutting stuff, but with those two guys. Those two knuckleheads in the main event, but yeah, it. The weight class changed even from the time we recorded it. It went up again. It went from 185 to 195 to 205. So Marvin Mettori gladly took, I think, estimated on the site where I run fighter salaries, MMA-manifesto.com. I estimated Costa probably made about 100 grand. So he, and Vittori said he got 30% of that. So he got 30 grand just for fighting at light heavyweight. So I kept thinking and saying that Vittori got by Costa with all his weight stuff, but he won the fight and he probably got around 20 to 30 grand out of Costa's purse. So who's the sucker after all, I guess.
Yeah, I think they both got suckered in a way, but yes, it worked out. It worked out best for Vittori.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw it coming. I was not, to be fair, I was not very, very confident with the pick. I had Vittori minus 162. Dan had Costa plus 130. In the end, Vittori prevailed 48-46, 48-46, 48-46. Which isn't just the score of the fight. It also is a summary of both men's IQ that were in the fight. 48 and 46. So, I think Vittori is probably a 48 and Costa is about a 46 is what I would say. So I saw that was a meme going around. Is this the lowest combined IQ in the UFC fight ever? And I'm thinking, yeah, probably.
I got to imagine there were some ones in the earlier ones that were a little bit more questionable
in the olden days. So
you got to imagine a Tito Ortiz fight broke down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can't forget about Tito. It's true. So Costa was clearly the bigger man. I think Dana White's it's Dana White, though, so consider the source. But I think he said that Vittori was 208 at fight night, like at the time of the fight, and Costa was 220. I don't know if they weighed them before or what the case was. I know California, I think they weigh them right before also, but don't think they do that in Vegas. So this could just be Dana talking out of his ass like he normally does. But anyhow, Costa was clearly the bigger man, and he was breathing through his mouth almost immediately, making it seem like he was getting tired, but somehow he kept going. He won the last round. He kept throwing big, big kicks. He definitely was landing the more impactful strikes, yet Vittori clearly won the fight. He clearly did more and lit up Costa more. Costa losing a point for an eye poke helped the situation, but Vittori would have won the fight regardless. So why did you get this one wrong, Dan? How did Costa let you down? Was it Vittori's chin was better than you expected or what?
I actually don't think Costa let me down as much as Vittori proved me wrong. I'd said a whole lot about how, you know, I didn't trust Vittori's hands. He looked really bad in his fight with Kevin Holland in the brief moments it was on the feet. But and don't get me wrong, he wasn't winning all the exchanges on the feet, but he did look good on the feet. He was landing a lot on the feet, which is more than I thought he would do. And obviously getting to mix in that takedown that he got at that one point and other things like that helped. But I was surprised at how good he was on his feet. So rather than sit here and say that, you know, Costa did something, you know, that made, you know, disappointed me. And don't get me wrong, he could have done other things in other places. But he fought largely like I expected he would. And I think Vittori took a step forward, which is hilarious and weird, because like if you're thinking about where they go from here, like Vittori didn't come remotely close to winning a third chance at Israel Adesanya. Costa is seemingly being forced out of the middleweight division after this, so like this could not have gone worse for either guy. other than Vittori got paid.
That's true. Yes, he got paid. He got his win bonus and he got about a third of Costa's money, which is nice. Maybe Costa claims he's not going to go to light heavyweight, even though his boss says he is. So maybe he's like last night when he was telling the ref that he wasn't allowed to take a point away from him. Maybe he thinks he can just tell Dana White, no, sorry, I'm not going to light heavyweight. You're not taking a point away from me for poking you in the eye. Well, how about that? The refs actually did a good job last night taking away points and not just giving people stern warnings 50 times.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. And it happened in the Trinaldo fight, too, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we can talk about that atrocious scorecard a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a bad scorecard. But, good to see referees finally doing that. Because that's the way it should be, right? Like, when it is that impactful, Like, you got to take it away.
Yep, exactly. So I think I'm trying to think if there's anything else we really need to take away from that fight. Costa's gas tank, much better than anyone would have imagined. Maybe it's the extra weight. Maybe he's going to be okay at light heavyweight.
I don't think it surprised me as much because, like, when he fought Yoel Romero, it held up fairly well. And granted, it wasn't a 5-round fight, right? That was a 3-rounder. But it held up pretty well then, not awfully. So yeah, like it would stand to reason an extra 20 pounds that he didn't have to cut off. It would probably be even better. So, his gas tank was about right where I expected it to be.
Well, maybe it's because Joe Rogan hasn't been on telecast for a while. Maybe you've forgotten that muscles,
big muscles, yep. Gas out.
Yeah, exactly. You've forgotten that. So who really? We've been saying this a lot where people win fights or they do good and we're like, this doesn't really do much for him. Or we have no idea what's going to happen next for this guy. Like, not a guy really, I guess Vittori came out a winner here, but really I don't see it, as you mentioned, I don't see it progressing him in the division any higher than he already is. Like, in the rankings I run on my site, MMA-manifesto.com, he's still behind Brunson, and he's behind the champ, obviously, and he's behind Robert Whittaker. So, like, seriously, what are you going to do with him next? You're not going to give him Izzy. What is next for Marvin Vettori? Any idea?
I'm trying to remember. Has he fought Derek Brunson?
I feel like
that one would make a lot of sense.
Doesn't Brunson have a fight coming up? Or am I wrong?
Didn't he just beat Till? He just beat Till.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So I can't imagine.
A title fight coming up is what you should have.
I mean, he should. Will he? Oh, no, he actually does already have a fight coming up in January against Jared Cannonier.
Okay, right. Yes.
So, like a win streak that already involves Elias Theodore, Ian Heinisch, Edmund Shabazian, Kevin Holland, Darren Till, and possibly Jared Cannonier. I can't imagine Marvin Vettori's semi-lackluster win of 3 rounds over Paulo Costa gets him anywhere near a title shot right now, given that that's what he's on. So I'm going to say, you have to, we got to look at the rankings and, he's going to have to fight, an up-and-comer kind of guy, right? Like, there's nobody else to fight. I mean, I guess he could fight Robert Whittaker after Robert Whittaker inevitably loses to Israel Adesanya. If Whittaker were to beat Adesanya, that's going to be a trilogy. And Brunson's already fighting Cannonier. He already fought number two. So, all he's got for options are dudes behind him. I guess he could go fight Sean Strickland. If we're just going to line him up,
fun, doesn't it?
We're just going to line him up with the least likable guys in MMA.
Exactly. It seemed to work for Vettori. He seems to have, he definitely has a lot more fans now than he ever had. He went up against a person even more unlikable than he was.
Sean Strickland's even more unlikable than Paulo Costa. So imagine
the death threats between the two of those guys, Angry Marvin and Psycho Sean. Imagine those two guys. Just imagine the talking.
Yeah, unreal. I think that's probably what you got to do in retrospect. Like, I think Sean Strickland, Marvin Vettori makes some kind of weird sense.
Plug him into the Luke Rockhold spot. Because Luke Rockhold, not really surprisingly, backed out of that fight. So, it's like I was getting at. It's he won, but he really has not improved his status in the division.
Maybe he should go up to 205.
Yeah, he seemed to work fine at it. So why not, right?
Maybe
he can fight Costa at light heavyweight. All right. So and then we had a draw, which is always lovely to see, especially when you have a -400 pick on Grant Dawson, and then he ends up having a draw against Ricky Glenn, a fight that he was winning until he was not winning, and he got saved by the bell, basically, or he would have got a big fat L instead of a D beside his name for that event, because Glenn was very close to choking him out as the final buzzer went, and Dawson was pretty much out when the fight ended. He So he could have been declared the loser there if he hadn't come to his senses quickly enough and stumbled off to his corner.
Yeah, I'm fine with the draw. I think there were probably a round or two in there where a 10-8 to Dawson wouldn't have looked that bad either, like first round. Like, if you gave a 10-8 to Dawson in the first round, I don't think anybody would debate it. And actually, if you look at a lot of the guys' scores, maybe not a lot of the guys' scores from MMA decisions, but most of them had it. Most of the ones with sense had it as a draw, although some Sherdogs guys had it 28-27, which is a weird score that I think I just vouched for, and somehow I just agree with the Sherdog guy. So I guess that's my bad. But I think draw was the right call here. I think Ricky Glenn with the storming back, man.
Yep. Screwed us out of a win.
Out of a cool $25.
Exactly. So that ended up being a push. We did win with Jesse Jess, Jessica Rose Clark, a boring unanimous decision, a grind over.
She looked pretty good, though.
She looked good.
I'm impressed with where she was. Yeah.
30-27, 30-27, 29-28, basically wrestling won the fight for her. Smart fight, smart win. And then our big score, which we should not have gotten +240 for this fight. Alex Caceres is never he should never be +240 in any fight because he always seems to be always in it. But yeah, he got a submission over Sungwoo Choi, ruining Superfan Jong's All Korean parlay, which we told him not to do, which he did anyway, Dan. Not surprisingly.
I did tell him not to do that.
Yeah, we told him. I told him in the Slack, don't do that. But he did it. Now he doesn't. He wants all Korean fighters banned from the UFC. He's a little salty about it. But hey, I picked against both Koreans and I won both picks. But yeah, this is +240. Alex Caceres did it again. Submission, second round, rear naked choke. Very good fight. And like I said, Caceres is what, 5 straight wins or something like that.
Yeah, I will also say this. You said he shouldn't have been that big of a dog. Dude, he looked like that big of a dog on the feet. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
That fight opened up, and he was getting lit up, and I was like, oh, that was another bad pick by Gumby. And I was just, like, shaking my head. And then he comes out in that second round, and it's just like, okay, maybe we turn this into a wrestling match. And it was so much better that way.
Yep. You want to say, give Caceres a step up, but he'll probably lose if he gets a step up. So whatever.
I don't know. Like he could. Depends. I mean, he might not beat anybody in the top 15. But I would give him chances against Shane Burgos is fighting this or in a couple of weekends. Like I would give him a chance against Shane Burgos. Although I'm not sure. Maybe Shane Burgos isn't ranked anymore. He was ranked for a little while. He's still ranked. I'd give him a chance against Shane Burgos. I don't actually hate him against somebody like Movsar Evloev. Like, he'd probably turn in a really fun fight with Bryce Mitchell. He doesn't have to beat any of those guys, but, like, he probably deserves to fight one.
Where's Bryce Mitchell been? Has he had another testicle injury or something? What's going on with that guy?
He did recently post a picture of a rabbit his dog brought back to him, he tweeted that he was going to eat it, so...
Man, is there related to Dan? Any chance? Any chance he's related to Dan?
I'm pretty positive he's not related to
No, he's a Southerner, I know. Never mind.
Did you ever hear that post fight interview with him when he won he said he wanted the 50K or somebody asked him what he was gonna do with the 50K and he said he was gonna get some paving stones for outside of the trailer so he doesn't have to walk in the chicken shit. And it was just, it was one of the best answers to what are you going to do with the extra 50K I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's Cletus in real life is what it is. Unbelievable.
He can fight.
Yep. Cletus second fight. Yes. There, that's our first real, foray off of the path and into the woods on this episode, Dan. But we haven't really. There'll be more to come. There'll be more forays into the wilderness. All right. I guess we have to talk about the next fight. Francisco Trinaldo, the old dog, pulled out a split decision win despite losing a point. Or Dwight Grant, 29-27, 27-29, 29-27. We lost. We had Grant at +100. We had no idea why he was a dog in this one, but guess the once again, the bookies know what they're talking about, but I think Dan's going to rage against some the judges in this one, so I'll just wind them up and let them go here.
I am going to rage against the judges. And you know what? I'm not just going to rage against the judges who gave the decision to Trinaldo. I'm going to rage against every judge because all of them got it wrong, including the guy who scored it for Dwight Grant. Because there's no defensible way you can tell me Dwight Grant won two of those rounds. There's also no defensible way you can tell me Trinaldo won all three of those rounds. Trinaldo won one and two. Dwight Grant won three. And that's the end of it. I don't know how anybody scored that fight any differently. And then you give Grant the extra point for the eye poke. And it's that simple. It's over, right? Like, I don't know how anybody's – like, Sal D'Amato gave rounds one and two to Grant somehow. I don't know how that happened. That's wild.
We appreciate it. Too bad another judge didn't agree with him.
Yeah, it's just so dumb. So, yeah, like, this should have been a draw. It should have been a draw very easily. And I assumed when it was going to the judge scorecards, it was going to be one. And then just judges gonna judge.
Yep. And we why did we get that wrong, that this fight wrong, Dan? I forgot. Yeah, why did we get Dawson and Ricky Glenn wrong?
I'm impressed. I think Dawson had opportunities to finish early and didn't push enough.
Yep.
And Ricky Glenn is extremely tough. He's one of the toughest dudes on the fucking planet. Like, he showed that in a lot of past fights. I mean, like, I think people forget he beat the hell out of Gavin Tucker way back when. Like, beat that dude within an inch of his life. So, I think people forget how good he is. And, like, man, like, I think just Grant Dawson not pushing to finish early, like being like, oh, I can do this for two more rounds, was stupid. And I think that cost him. And for the Dwight Grant one, I think Trinaldo was a little bit more active than he's been lately. He didn't go into like his weird passive shell. And some of that might have been what Dwight Grant drew out of him.
Could be the weight thing also, possibly. He's not cutting weight anymore to lightweight.
Possibly, but he didn't look particularly, I mean, other than the fact that he won his last one. No, he lost to Muslim Salikov. He looked better in the Muslim Salikov fight too, but not it wasn't because he had more output. He was pretty lame in that fight too. So I liked seeing a higher output Trinaldo. I think that would make him better. And obviously it somehow got him the win in this fight. But I think that's why we got that one wrong. You can't anticipate that suddenly his work rate is going to be twice as much.
And he's 43.
At 43.
So was he, you emailed me a trivia question. Was he the answer to the trivia question?
He was. Yeah, he was.
The first article Dan wrote, first prelim breakout star article Dan wrote for me on MMA-manifesto.com way back in 2013 was on Francisco Trinaldo, and he had already fought a few times in the UFC. So he's been around forever, this man.
He was the prelim breakout star of, I think it was a UFC on FX.
Yes, or Fuel, or one of those, right?
I think it was FX, and I think it was Bisping versus Belfort.
Wow, there you go. There's a blast from the past.
Yep.
And then finally, in the opener of the main card, Nikolai Nogumarenu. That's who he is. He TKO'd Ike Villanueva. Not really much of a surprise there. Only took him a minute 18. We pretty much called it. We got minus 271 for him. I don't know. Probably not much to say other than Ike Villanueva is a nice guy, good story, but I'm sure he's going to be out of UFC work at this point.
Yeah, journeyman with a puncher's chance. Yep. And glad he got his chance in the UFC, but at the end of the day, he's a journeyman with a puncher's chance, sadly.
Yep. So I went, 4-1 and one draw on the main card, and Dan was... 3-2-1, so not so bad, right?
I had a great main card.
Yeah, main card, we're good. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the prelims where we kill it. It's maybe you didn't listen to prelim primer this week, last week, Dan, after you recorded it. Did you not pay attention?
I must not have. I need to listen back to it for sure.
You do need it. Or actually, was Kurt making good picks? I can't remember who he picked. Did Kurt make good picks on that show at least? Because you obviously didn't.
I think he picked a couple more right than me, but not much more.
That's not saying much then, is it? All right. It actually, this PropSwap might be the place for you, Dan, because you don't have to win bets to make money in PropSwap. Dan could be the poster boy. I just came up with it right this second, too. PropSwap. When you look at PropSwap, you see Dan Braylon's face. Brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The MLB playoffs are in full swing, and PropSwap is your home for the best World Series futures. All season long, PropSwappers have been finding the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchase on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. What else can I tell you? Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. And like I said, you don't have to win because it's like a stock market. So you can make really bad picks like Dan does and then find some sucker to buy your picks from you before they lose. So let me tell you about keeps. Like I said, if you're walking down the street and people mistaken you for Alexi Olenek, keeps may be the place for you. If you don't have the good Vreeland genes, then Keeps might be the thing for you. Because Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. Once again, keeps.com/SGP. Fadar may still have his power and his hand speed, but he could use some keeps probably also. So if they ship to Staryoskaya, Russia or wherever he's from, then maybe Fader could use some keeps also. But I'm not going to tell him that to his face. Dan, next time you see him, don't tell him I say he needs keeps, okay?
Yeah, do you know who else needs keeps? The guy who we're about to start talking about, which is Gregory Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, RoboCop.
I don't know about you, he does not look old enough to need keeps. No. Because he is actually – did you know he's only 29 years old?
No way. And he looks like Obama. Crazy.
Yeah, and he looks
like Obama coming out of office.
That's what I was just going to say, post-office Obama. Yeah. But he also could use keeps.
Post-office Obama. That could be a good name for this episode, post-office Obama. We haven't come across anything better yet. So that's in the running at this point. All right. Yes, I got this one right, Dan. Imagine that, eh? The post office Obama, Gregory Rodriguez, came through, KO'd John Young Park. We kind of figured it was going to be a firefight, and it was. He took him out in the second round, knocked him out, one fight of the night in the process. In the main card, Marvin Vettori and Alex Caceres got the performance of the night bonuses. I think Vettori just got it. I think Vettori Costa would have been fight of the night if Costa had made weight, but I don't think they wanted to give Costa a bonus. So Rodriguez and Park were the beneficiaries of that because they got the extra $50K in their pay packet. So I had Rodriguez minus 110, hit that one, and Dan was riding with the Korean and lost minus 118. How did you lose this one, Dan? You're going to have to explain yourself once again, please.
Underrated Gregory Rodriguez's chin.
There you go.
It's one of the most remarkable chins I've ever seen. Like, if John Young Park had hit any other middleweight with the combinations he hit Gregory Rodriguez with, and they didn't fall, like, I'd be shocked. And for some reason, Gregory Rodriguez not only walked through them, but did his best Chris Lieben impression and just knocked John Young Park out right upon, like, John Young Park fought infinitely better than Gregory Rodriguez in that second round. Right. Granted, I'll give Gregory Rodriguez the first round. He looked very good grappling. And I think if he had stayed there, he probably would have kept winning. And then he got the shit kicked out of him in round number two. It looked like Park was going to knock him out on his feet and then immediately was knocked out on his feet shortly thereafter. It was crazy. Also, I'm gonna debate with you here. I think Gregory Rodriguez, John Young Park should have won fight of the night over Costa Vettori anyway. I think that was infinitely more fun fight to watch than the main event. And not that the main event wasn't fun, but I think that that one is more exciting. And I take a little bit of, just so we can go off on this rail for a second, I take a little bit of issue with Marvin Vettori winning the performance bonus. Like, if you're saying he should have won because he should have won fight of the night, like, first of all, like I said, I think that's categorically wrong. Gregory Rodriguez,
oh my God, was way better. Really harsh, Dan. Categorically wrong.
And then, second of all, how does Jeff Molina not walk out of this with a performance bonus? We're going to talk about him in a second.
That's also a fight of the night possibility, too. That
holy
fight,
hell, dude, in that fight, dude. It was incredible. And for a flyweight to be turning off lights like that, a 24-year-old flyweight to be turning off lights like that, why are they not jacked up on Jeff Molina?
Yep. El Jefe. I know. Dan is not following script. He's jumping all over the place.
Sorry.
It's really upsetting me. I like order, Dan. You're causing confusion and delay, Dan. Do you know who says that?
Jong Young Park has had a great second round.
Yep.
Lost because he fought a guy with a phenomenal chin.
Yeah. So that's the takeaway, Rodriguez.
That's the takeaway. Phenomenal chin. And if his chin holds up like that again, he could beat any middleweight.
No kidding. How are you going to finish him? Exactly. We got the next fight, right? It was closer than a minus 550 pick should have been, but Mason Jones finally got his first UFC win. The highly regarded Mason Jones beat David Onama, who was UFC debutant at short notice also, but he ended up being able to win a round off of Jones. He looked very good striking. Jones ended up having to grind this one out on the mat. 29-28. Announcers weren't big on Jones, kind of basically inferring that he fights dumb. Do you agree with that? He gives his opponents too many openings.
I don't know that he did, because like if you go back to his Cage Warriors days, like that's sort of what makes him good, right? Like he pushes forward. He's not afraid to eat a punch or two so that he can get in the clinch. He can use that judo he uses, and he can get to his jiu-jitsu and his ground and pound and all of that stuff. And he did that a little bit here. He just fought a guy who really boxes quite well. And like, people should be impressed in how well he boxed. So,
yeah, he looked very good.
Yeah, so I think yes, you could find some fault in what he was doing, but I think mostly you should find like you should just know that that's part of what he does that has worked so well year after year after year. So like I'm fine with it in the long run.
Yep. From here on out, it's nothing but L's. Dan's catching nothing but L's the rest of the fight card. And this is a big fight card.
Let's get to the contender series.
We have almost half of the fight card left, and you're getting nothing but L's the rest of the way. We have six fights left, and you got to explain how you screwed up in every one of them. Yet the Jongs of the world are still riding your jock, Dan, and not mine. It's ridiculous.
Well, they're ready. They're ready for all the good things that are going to come via the contender series.
Yeah, right. What happens when that's over, Dan? Huh? Then what happens? I'm going to have to
start doing a good job at picking these fights. Yeah.
It's not like you've been horrible. You're just horrible this week. All right. Tabitha Ricci skunked Maria de Oliveira Nita, but she just goes by Maria Oliveira. 30-27. Ricci's wrestling looked fantastic, and she's a real dog in there, always like basically going after the much larger Oliveira pretty much the whole fight. So how did you screw this one up, Dan? You had Ricci, you had her on your show, you wrote about her for my site saying how she's going to win, and then you backed off all that and chickened out, and on all the podcasts you said she's going to lose. So why did you screw up?
So I did go back and forth on this one. This one I did cover my bases on, because I said it felt like a coin flip to me, because it was either Richie's wrestling works incredibly well and she wins this fight easily, or or the reach doesn't pan out for her and she gets peppered on the face. And mostly here on this one, I was willing to eat the big fat loss if Richie landed her takedowns, because – the return on the other side was good enough, and it felt like a coin flip. Like, do the takedowns work? Answer that question. You're 50-50 on it. If they don't, she loses. So I will say this, though. Her takedown game looked good enough that I'm very interested in seeing what happens next to her at strawweight.
Yep. She looked very good. Definitely looked very good there. So I got the one right. Haha, minus 240. But so you're basically backtracking to saying this was just a value pick on your behalf is what you're saying.
Yeah, this one, you can go back and listen last week. I said this was a value pick.
All right, whatever. Okay, I only have one win going forward from here. So things aren't so great for me either. All right, we both got the next one. Next one Dan had as his lock, Loriano Staropoli. Dan had him at minus 250, so Dan lost his unlocks now. He's 15-13 and down $440 on the year. Ouch. And that's his lock picks, all right? Is everyone here? Are all the disciples of Dan here in this? So, yeah, I got this one wrong too, unfortunately. Jamie Pickett came through, first UFC win, 3 rounds to none, 2 rounds to 1. So 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. How did we whiff on this one, Dan?
Staropoli looked very bad.
Yep.
Like Jamie Pickett looked largely what I expected Jamie Pickett to look like, and Staropoli somehow looked about 40 times slower than I expected him to look. His counters looked like he had no idea where they were going. Like, he looked like he was punching, like, triple vision and just not anywhere close to Pickett, and then eating another punch because his counter was so bad. So, yeah, we're never going to have to talk about Loriano Staropoli on this show again, so I assume we should just probably stop talking about him now.
You don't think so? You think he's gone now?
I think very fucking gone.
Did he drink a full bottle of wine, perhaps, the night before the fight?
I don't even think that would have saved him.
All right, so we both whiffed on that one. We whiffed on the next one. We pretty much predicted how the fight would go, but the wrong man ended up crumpling to the canvas. That was lightweight. Jai Herbert won via TKO punches 2 minutes, 47 seconds into the fight over Kamaworthy. Like I said, it went, you know, we expected it to be a brawl. We thought if it was a brawl, we really like Worthy, especially at plus 142. But Herbert used that length of his. He used it correctly. And he's another guy who got his first UFC win. So big win for him and a big L for us. So what did we get wrong this one?
I don't think anything. You said it perfectly. The guy who landed the big shot in the brawl wasn't the guy we picked. It was a brawl. And there was no feeling out process, kind of like we expected. And the other guy wound up being the benefactor and not the guy we picked.
Notice how quick this goes when we lose.
We want to get to the contender series because we do. You know, strong and the guys want to hear me be good at something.
Exactly. All right. Here's my only other win of the night. The aforementioned flyweight fight, real good fight. Jeff Molina versus Daniel Lacerda, but he goes by Daniel Da Silva, apparently, because that's what they were calling him last night. And I believe that
Daniel Lacerda Da Silva.
Yes. Isn't that every Brazilian? Isn't that all of their names end in Da Silva, does it not, to be fair? And some of them don't use it?
Douglas Da Silva de Andrade. Oh,
that's true.
That one's in the middle.
I think he has a Da Silva after that, though, doesn't he? De Andrade Da Silva. All right, so this one, I had Molina minus 186. You had Da Silva plus 145. Your pick did not look bad at all. He looked very good. Both these guys look very good. I'm looking forward to seeing both of them in flyweights. But that's Molina, I think in my rankings, that's two straight wins, finishes in flyweight will vault you into the top 15. So he's in the top 15 now. Like I said, both guys look very good. In the end, Molina won via TKO, elbows and punches, 46 seconds into the second round, but both men had their opportunities to win. Molina just seemed to counter everything Da Silva had for him, at least on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think he did get two finishes in a row. If I'm not mistaken, he won a decision against Keelang Aori in his first fight. But still, two wins in a row plus the contender series where he beat Jacob Silva, who's a real tough out as well. But he goes by just Jacob Silva. Jeff Molina looked incredible. And he's one of those guys – and I'm definitely going to have to start penciling this in on one of these guys. Like, he's 24, and he's one of those dudes who just comes out looking 30 times better than he did the previous fight. And he didn't look bad the previous fight, but he looked so much better this one. And, again, I think we have to tip our cap to James Krause, Glory MMA Fitness, because, dude, that gym is totally turning into – just an absolute powerhouse of young, exciting prospects and people who get a ton better really fast.
Could we – I think we could compare it to another one of our favorite gyms, Fortis MMA circa, what, 2019 maybe?
It's feeling very much like that. And I will say they both have very different vibes, but like
yep.
Those two and Daniel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu are like the yes. three that I think people are sleeping on the hardest. Daniel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu has got some dudes in it that like people need to be talking more about like yesterday. And like Glory has like people have sort of started talking about how good James Krause is, and now Safe Saad is like kind of a household name. Like I feel like everybody yep. knows who he is now. So yeah, it feels like the progression, right? Like we're still at the everybody's under the radar on Daniel Gracie step. People have mostly started talking about James Krause, but he definitely needs yep. more shine, and Safe Saad is like he's there.
Yep. Definitely. So maybe if we had done our best fighters under 25 list after this, maybe Molina would have made it. I don't think he made it when we were talking about it the first time, but yeah, he's definitely, and that's a division that you can make some noise in very quickly. Like I said, he's top 15. He could be probably top 15 in the official rankings too.
I will spoil it. He is in my official rankings as a ranking panelist member. Whether or not he gets in, will not entirely be based on my choice, but if I had my druthers, he would be in the rankings.
There you go. So I got that right, Dan got it wrong, but like I said, I think both guys came out looking good. I think De Silva's got a future in the Division II, you'd hope. We got this one. This was my lock pick, and we both were really confident about this one. Livia Renata Souza going up against a dirty, rotten Canadian, and of course my fellow Canadian screwed me over, Randa Markos. I don't mind when a Canadian comes through and makes me look bad. She saved her job here. 32-7, 32-7, 29-28. Like I said, Souza was my lock, -139. So for locks, I'm down. I'm at 17-10 for the year, down $87 now. So, what did we get wrong here, Dan? We overrated Souza's wrestling and underrated Marcos's wrestling, perhaps?
No. We underrated. No. Randa Markos made insane gains in her boxing game. Her boxing looked so much better than it used to. And don't get me wrong, those first two things you said are probably part of it, because there were some wrestling elements there where Markos looked good. I also think in general, Souza fought a really dumb fight. There were a couple of times where they were in like a weird transition against the cage where Randa Markos had gotten up into what you call the dogfight position, which is when you have a wizard and you're trying to stand up, and rather than fight that wizard and move away for Livia Souza, she just like jumped guard twice against somebody who like is very comfortable in a top position.
Yeah.
And she threw up some decent arm bars, but like you don't do that to somebody who you're literally giving them their favorite spot. But then again, she was getting peppered on the face, so maybe that was her best avenue for victory. But you know, props to Randa Markos. You know, to still be getting better on the heels of a four-fight losing streak and saving your job like that, like, what is she, 12-12-1 in her career?
Yeah, I think so.
Bring on fight number 26, you know, like, let her have at it.
Yeah, and her boxing was she's very aggressive, too, on the feet, too, which was good to see. Well, it wasn't good to see because we picked against her, so. And then in the opener, I blame Dan for this one because he had me go in on Lavishvili, the newcomer, and he got beat by Jonathan Martinez. Martinez looked very good. 32-7, 29-28, 29-28. Lavishvili could not execute his wrestling, couldn't implement it. What did we get wrong here? Is it because we did not trust the stats saying short notice fighters are basically going to lose most of the time, and that was the case here?
I don't know if that's the case, although it could be. The big piece for me here was, why did Lazishvili not wrestle after that first initial exchange?
Yeah, he just gave up.
He failed, according to the official stats, which, you know, like, take it for what they are. He failed on four takedowns in this one exchange. It really felt like one prolonged takedown attempt didn't work. And then he just never went back to it. And it's very clear that that's part of his game, and he wasn't going to win the striking game. And, you know, on one hand, you could say, like, he got discouraged and his game plan went away and he blew it for us there. But, you know, I've also heard the argument that maybe that exchange tired him out really extensively. And if that's the case, then we should have listened. Like you said, we should have listened to the stats on short notice, people. They're not as ready to go. And, hey, maybe that was it too. But, yeah, like, hey, mad props to Jonathan Martinez. He looked good in there. And Lazarushvili, I'll be interested to see what happens on a full fight camp and see if he goes back to that wrestling a little bit more often.
So that wraps up that card. But, yeah, I ended up doing good, Dan. I went 8-5, and I was up, thanks to Mr. Caceres, I was up $104. Ha, ha, ha. So on the year, I'm at 58%. I'm still down lots of money, though, because betting $100 in every fight and every card probably isn't your best bet when you're betting like 400 fights a year. But hey. And then, Dan, you were 4-9, Dan, and you're down $540. And you're back down to 54%. You get up to 55%, and then you seem to get knocked right back down. So I'm 4% better picking fights, and I'm $700 better than you this year. Yet they want to hear from you still, Dan, because –
because I'm hundreds of dollars better than you on Tuesday.
Exactly, because I'm not making – I should just start making blind picks on Tuesday, because look, a lot of times when I just look at the stats and the resumes and stuff, I can pretty much pick who's going to – or I can pick who you're going to pick. But well, let's see how I do this week, because we're going to break you down. You don't want to see anything else about this basically meaningless card,
no,
do you?
No, get rid of it.
No!
Throw it right in the trash.
There it is. We have back-to-back weeks, we're going to have real fight cards to talk about in our next few podcasts, because we have back-to-back pay-per-views, even though the next one you don't have to pay for. The best kind of pay-per-view. All right, before we get into the Contender Series, which is what a lot of you people are here for, let me tell you about Prediction Strike. Do you wish you could have had stock in a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. Prediction Strike, I always struggle with that, is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robinhood and DraftKings had a baby. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just bet on your favorite players. Start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up at PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use code SGPNMMA, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players just like you would real stocks. The value of players will change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade your shares of players at any time, as long as the player isn't currently in the game. Sign up with promo code SGPNMMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And if you're going to download apps and you haven't already, make sure you download our app, the SGPN app. We are now live in the App Store and Google Play. We give you easy access to all our picks, podcasts, and whatnot. Don't forget to toss us an app review if you could when you do download it. Tell everyone how great SGPN is and the app is. All right. This Tuesdays are where the money is made, because Dan is our Mr. 80%. The Tuesday – no, you don't want to be called a truther. That's right. The Dana White Contender Series Soothsayer, as I spit all over my microphone. That's what the spit guard's for, I guess. All right. We got two more weeks of this. Actually, yeah, two more weeks of this. This is week 9 with the influx of fighters from China, we believe, over the next 2 weeks. This will be going on, as it always does, Tuesday night from the UFC Apex. We have 6 fights coming up. Is there a general thought on this week's fight card or a theme or anything that you want to throw out there before we start making picks?
Yeah, theme is it's really hard to get a lot of good film on Chinese fighters. This is going to be not an easy one to break down.
But you got to get 4.8 right, though. Are you prepared to get 4.8 picks right, Dan?
I think so.
Okay. That's let her rip, then. We will start with – what are we starting with? Featherweights. And this is one of those weeks where we can fighters' first and last names are interchangeable, too, so I'll just say whatever has it on Wikipedia. Zai Bin versus Oliver Murad. This, like I said, this is a featherweight fight. First of all, are you familiar with both these fighters, Dan?
I was really familiar with Olivier Murad, yep. But not so much Ben Shea, because
Oh, listen to you, Ben Shea.
I think it's Shay, right?
Yeah, it probably is,
like,
right.
Like Shay Shay, yep. Which means thank you in Mandarin.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a hillbilly. Listen to me.
He's like he's one of those guys out of the Performance Institute in Shanghai, and as a result, I know next to nothing about him other than he probably fought for WLF.
Yes, I believe he did.
Most of them fight for WLF.
Yep. I actually don't have a lot of info on Olivier Mirad, surprisingly, other than he's the warrior of God. 5-0, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, plus 165. Anything else you think we should add to the breakdown there before I go into Ben?
Titan FC champ. He won the Titan FC championship. Yeah, in February he won their featherweight championship against Muhammad Jajan Naimov, who is a pretty decent prospect in his own right, but Titan FC's belts mean a little bit less than they used to, I think, because their guys get snatched up typically before they even get to the being champs, whereas it used to be just like you had to beat like a whole bunch of UFC washouts. Now it's just like 4-0 and 5-0 guys, which is what Murad is. He's 5-0.
Yep. All right, so he's fighting the Chinese fighter Ben. His nickname's The Stalker. He's 8-2, 1 knockout, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 7 straight fights, 6 of them, 6 straight via finish. All of his fights are in 1FC, which is impressive. Actually, you should know this guy. He's fought all in 1FC, and that's the biggest promotion in the world, Dan.
It's huge.
It's huge. A billion people know him. Why don't you? Last fight, August of 2019. He's 5 years younger than Murad, minus 188. If I was just blindly picking, I would take Murad.
I'm going to take Murad, too. Yay! Yeah, it's hard for me, again, because you're right. He did fight for 1FC, and so there is a little film out there. And what you can see is he's got, like, a pretty nice 1-2 and some, like, pretty decent wrestling. And here's what worries me just the slightest bit about Murad is he's kind of sloppy in his grappling exchanges and everything like that. But here's the other thing. He's really strong. And I think if you look at them two, the two guys just physically, I think he's going to overwhelm Bin Shay with his strength. Like, Bin Shay is, like, incredibly wiry and very skinny. And I think that would play well in wrestling, but like, or in striking, but I think he's going to want to wrestle, and I think that's going to go badly for him. I'm going to go with Murad here, too, especially, like, the dog money on him.
See how easy this is, Dan? Lightweights, Manuel Torres. I wish it was Miguel Torres, though. I loved me some Miguel Angel Torres back in the day.
Great mullet.
Great mullet. Unfortunately, he was, by the time he got to the UFC, he pretty much was done. It was the WEC was when you really wanted to see the man shine. He was fighting. This is not him. This is Manuel Torres. He's fighting against Colton England. Now that guy sounds Chinese to me, Dan. Am I right on that?
Neither of these two are Chinese, but it is England, not
England. England, that's right. And England is the white assassin, which is a problematic nickname, Dan. To say the least, but I didn't name him that. I'm just reading what's on the screen here. And Torres' nickname is El Loco. Do you know what El Loco translates to, Dan?
The crazy.
Yes, that is correct. No, I didn't. Is this a last-minute fight? Because there was no odds for it last time I checked. You know,
well, I see odds for it.
Yeah, there are odds now, but as of yesterday, they weren't. Is this like a last minute thing or not?
No, because they announced this 6-fight fight card like a week ago.
Okay, let's break down. We'll go with Torres El Loco first. And did I tell you? Yeah, I said this was lightweight, which is true. I'm not lying. It is lightweight. First of all, either guy, is Murad going to get a contract, Dan?
I mean, he is, like, very violent and sloppy. That's kind of what they like, right?
Yeah, that's true. He's a killer, that means that.
I don't know that he's a killer, but he is sloppy, and they seem to enjoy sloppy. I think it will just depend on whether or not he can finish Bin Shay.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, back to Torres. Did I tell you he's crazy? Yeah, I told you he's crazy. He's 11-2. 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, so everything's been finished except one fight. Both of his losses have come via submission. He's won 2 straight fights via submission in himself. He is plus 125. It's a very close fight in the books. The White Assassin, England, 9-3 with 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. All of his losses have come via knockout. Very interesting. He's won 3 straight fights. and he's at minus 125. Let me see if I was just blindly picking someone here. I can't remember the resumes and the other guy when I was looking at them. I'll go dog again. What? Why not? I'll take Torres.
Yeah, don't take Torres in this
okay.
one.
I was wrong.
So Torres is a guy who's like, so he is very wild. He's just going to like sprint at somebody and throw like a 35 punch combo. And like a lot of his wins are like he snatches a guillotine and like he does what you would not want somebody to do with a guillotine. Rather than, you know, like fall back and sit into the guillotine and apply it correctly or buckle the guy down and put him against the cage and pick up your hips. He literally looks like he's just trying to suplex somebody in the WWE while he's got the guy in the guillotine. And, like, for a couple of, like, inexperienced guys he's fought, it's worked against them, and they've tapped to this, like, bizarre-looking guillotine. Englund is probably one of the most, like, tactically safe fighters I've seen fight. He, like, plods forward. He's, like, puts together really smart combos. When people are doing things back to him, he does the smartest thing he can possibly do to avoid their shit and then, like, gets right back in there and fucks him up. He's really fun to watch from, like, a if you appreciate good technique standpoint. So I think he's going to have a pretty good time dealing with Torres, who I think probably will gas himself out in addition to not having much success trying to be wild against a guy like Englund.
There you go. White assassin prevails, Dan. That's yeah, we'll just move on from that.
Yeah, maybe don't problematic. Maybe don't title the episode that.
No, I don't think I'll skip that. Good call. Women's flyweight, Karine Silva versus how do you say Yan's first name or last name, Dan?
Kui Hui Yan.
Yeah, that sounds right. Kui Hui is Queen Kong and Silva is the killer. So there you go. Queen Kong is Are you familiar with both of these ladies? I forgot to ask you that.
I had to watch some film on Yan. Again, it's really hard to stay on top of Chinese MMA. LFA or WLF is not super easy to find. I had heard of Silva, although I hadn't really seen very much of her. She did fight for Fight Night Global for a little while, which and I know she fought Marina Meraz way back in the day. So like she had fought some real competition. And I'd seen a little bit of here and there, but yeah, like I had to go watch some Yan in order to feel like I could say anything about her.
Okay. And Torres and Englund, you are familiar with, correct?
Yeah, I was pretty familiar with both of them, especially Englund. Englund, he was on Dana White's, looking for a fight for Fury FC.
Oh, is that what the White and White Assassin stands for?
Yeah, it must be.
Dana White?
He's going to assassinate Dana White this weekend.
Oh, my God. Someone stop him. All right. Queen Kong, 11-3, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's won 2 straight fights via knockout. Wait a minute. I think she's been knocked out in 2 straight. Is that true? 2X KO'd. I think she's won 2 straight via knockout, I think. Yeah, because she won 3 straight fights. No, I know what these shorthands mean. She's been knocked out twice in her career. That's all it means. Sorry, everybody. So two out of her 3 losses have come via knockout. I'm back on track now. She's won 3 straight fights. She's at plus 175. And as for Silva, 13-4, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. So everything is a finish for her. So that is why she's a killer. She's been subbed twice. So half of her losses have come via submission. She's won 4 straight fights, all of them via finish, of course, because every one of her wins is finish. She's not fought since October 2020. I think it was the end of October. So it's pretty much a year at this point. She used to fight strawweight. This one's up at flyweight. She is 2 inches taller than Yan and 3 years younger. And she's at minus 210. I'll go with Silva.
I'm going to go with Yan on this one.
Oh, yeah?
And I will say this one's really hard for me because, you know, like as you said, it's one of those fights where I don't know too much about the fighter. But the problem for me here with When you watch Karine Silva fight, she is awful at boxing. She's really, truly bad on the feet.
But she's a killer.
Yan is fairly well polished on the feet. She looks pretty good. The difference is Silva is quite sharp on the mat. She's got really good jiu-jitsu skills. When she's on top, she's doing well. Yan, meanwhile, I think might wrestle better. She's like very physically strong, but she also seems like she tires. Which is one of my reservations on Yan, but at the same time, if you're getting her at this much plus money, being that much better of a striker than somebody who I think is a pretty poor striker in her own right, I just think Jan has got, like, a lot of value in this play. And, like, if you ask me for the gun to my head pick, I still might pick Jan. But, like, I would say there's a lot of question marks here, so why not get the plus 200 on the fighter you think is a better striker on a fight that starts on the feet and probably a better wrestler? So, yeah, I'm going to go with Jan here.
All right, there you go. Queen Kong is the pick. And my picks are not official picks, everyone, so don't follow my picks. I'm just throwing things out here.
I hope June gives you crap for
I hope he does. I'm just throwing picks. I'm just seeing how many times I can actually guess what Dan's going to pick here. All right, bantamweight. Javid Basharat versus Oran Kalin or Kalin. Is it Kalin? Kalin?
I think it's Kalin.
Do you know both these men?
I know Javid Basharat pretty intensely. I did have to, like, remind myself who Oran Kalin is because I knew of him, but the Snow Leopard I knew a lot about.
The Snow Leopard would be Basharat, yes.
Yeah, and he was supposed to fight, I think, on week 2 of the Contender Series.
Okay.
Week 1 or 2 of the Contender Series, or one of those early ones, he was supposed to fight on it and got he got pulled for visa shit, I think.
Okay. Both these guys are undefeated. We'll start with Kalin or Kalin or whatever you want to call him. Oran or Orion or whatever. I don't even know how to say either.
I think it's Oran.
Oran. Yes, there's no I in it, so we'll go with Oran. He's 16-0, 6 knockouts, 9 submissions, so everything's finished except one fight. He's not fought since June of 2019. He fought in Bellator for one fight, and he won it because he's undefeated. He has 7 inches of reach over Basharat, plus 160. The Snow Leopard, Basharat, 10-0, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions, so everything is finished with him also. Is Yanni going to pick this one under 1.5 rounds, Dan?
I don't. Why do we have to talk about him every week?
He loves those because people like when we dunk on him. So there you go.
You can give me a whole episode. I'll just dunk on him and his crazy white teeth for a whole episode.
He's Basharat, 1 inch taller, 11 years younger than Kalin, minus 175. I would guess you're going to take the Snow Leopard here.
Yeah, I love Javid Basharat. The fun part for me here is I already think he's, like, a fun stylistic striker with, like, tons of fun kicks and shit like that. He's fighting a guy who also has that. Like, Kalin is kind of like a – I don't want to say he's capoeira, but because he's Israeli, and I'm not sure that that's the right term for what he's doing. If he was Brazilian, I'd probably just jump to that assumption. But, like, he has kind of that style where you wouldn't be surprised if he threw, like – some sort of weird spinning kick where his hands touch the ground at some point in it. He fought in Bellator. He was fun fighting there. I just think the difference maker for me here is, like, it's two fun strikers, and Basharat, like, suddenly busts out these, like, great grappling moves. Like, if this winds up in a grappling affair, Basharat is going to have such an advantage. He had, like, a nice Darius choke his last time out. You've seen him, like, just, like, abandon his striking at some point in time for, like, no good reason and like, go dig for a rear naked choke, work to somebody's back and finish him. You know, he's got a couple Darius chokes. He's gone to the ground and pound before. I think when he's in there with a good striker, he's going to feel it out for a second, and then he's just going to go to what works and just beat the hell out of him on the ground.
All right, there's the pick. We move on to second to last co-main event, Christian Quiñones versus Long Zhao. Zhao. We can call him Zhao.
Zhao.
All right, Xiao, no nicknames. Quiñones is El Nino Problema. Do you know what that means, Dan?
The problem child.
Yes, the problem child. All right, the Chinese fighter Xiao is 16-6, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out in half of his losses, so 3 times knocked out. That adds up to. He's won 12 straight fights, 3 straight via finish, inch taller than Quiñones, 2 years younger, plus 250. The problem child is 15-3 with 8 knockouts. Eight knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 2 out of his 3 losses, so 2 knockouts. He's won 3 straight fights. He was fought in Combate where he was 1-1. Is he taking this on short notice or not? I had Xiao going up against someone else. I think Sherdog had Xiao against someone else listed.
I do not know. Possibly.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
Sherdog wouldn't be wrong, would they, Dan?
They are about every single judge's scorecard.
Quiñones, -320. Are you going with the big chalk pick here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Quiñones.
You know both guys?
I knew Xiao very little. The Chinese regionals are not an easy place for film. I did know Quiñones pretty well. He fought for UWC, which is a fairly easy promotion to get your eyes on. And he fought for Combate a bunch of times, too. I'm pretty sure he fought for Brave CF in their early days as well, which I have a friend who does some announcing for Brave CF, so I do know quite a bit about them. So for me, Quiñones, really quick kicks, very fun on the feet, adequate wrestling. Maybe not. That's not the thing to write home about. Long Xiao doesn't want to strike for even 1 minute. He just wants this to be a grappling match. When he is striking, his striking looks like he has pre-planned combinations of somebody like hitting mitts, and doesn't seem to be able to adjust to anything, which is really a bad recipe for disaster when you're fighting somebody with fast kicks who can light your face up. So for me, Long Xiao, I think, like, is a guy who, if he figured out his wrestling and could use it really well, he will look good. But I don't think that's this in this fight, and I think he's going to spend too much time on the feet getting hit.
All right, we move to our main event. Is this a good main event? Good match? Good matchup?
It is not. It is not. And you'll read the odds in a second and know why.
Yeah. All right. Middleweights: Jansi Silva versus Omar Gadziev.
Omar Gadziev, yeah, you were almost right there.
Gadziev, oh, mamma mia.
Omar Gadziev.
Of course. Silva's nickname is Jones. Did you know that, Dan?
Jansi Jones Silva?
Jansi Jones, apparently. He's +375 in this fight. He's 7-1 as a pro, 5 knockouts. He's won 3 straight fights via TKO. He's an inch taller, 2 years younger, +375. I don't really have any info on the man whose name I don't really feel like saying again. Gadzi, he's 12-0, though. 8 knockouts, 2 submissions, -500. I assume he's your pick by what you were saying before. Tell us what you know about these guys.
So the thing I will say about Jansi Silva, which is going to make, and I can even just feel the guys in our Slack channel liking this, he has insane knockout power. Like, he hits people really fucking hard.
Well, I'm going to take him, -375.
Right, and also I will say this. He's up against the guy who is a much, 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 much better technical striker in Gadzi Omar Gadziev. Oh, I almost got it. Omar Gadziev. He's just a way better technical striker. And in addition to that, despite the fact people hear that name and are instantly like, oh, he's going to be a great wrestler, he actually prefers to be like a kickboxer. And he's actually got like much better kickboxing than he does wrestling. But he also has adequate wrestling. He's also pretty good on the mat. And I think here, Jansi Silva, if you look at a lot of his fights, gets backed up to the cage very easily. Recipe for disaster against the guy who's got technical kickboxing and good takedowns. I think Jansi Silva, like a fun puncher's chance here, to the point where I'm definitely not laying any money on Gadzi Omar Gadziev, because I just don't, like at -500, first of all, it's not exciting, and second of all, if Silva's got a puncher's chance, I'm not messing around with that. But yeah, straight pick here, Omar Gadziev, probably by TKO with ground and pound.
Who was the one that you said people should get in on if they could? Was it
Javid Basharat?
All right. Yeah. Do you like the number -175 for him?
I do, and I actually think so. I said that before I had done enough research on Oren Colin, because I think I even mentioned in the show before, I wasn't super familiar with Oren Colin. I had to remind myself about what I had seen from him. So when the number came out, I don't think you have to run to the bookie to get -175. I think actually you might wind up seeing money come in on Colin late. So like it's at -175 right now for Basharat. It wouldn't surprise me to see that number come down a little bit. So I might – ooh, this is a risky thing to say right now, but I might even wait on him and see if it comes down further before I got in on him, because I think Basharat's going to wind up like – I'm going to just wager, I guess, here, -130 by fight time. You're going to want -130 on Basharat.
Do you see any numbers going crazy like they have every other week?
Yeah. Gadzi Omar Gadziev is going to be -1,000 by fight time. It really wouldn't surprise me to see Christian Keenan is up in like the negative 500s. I'll also say this. I think, you asked, is there somebody you need to run to the books to get in on? I think Olivier Mirad might be that guy. Because yeah. I think people are going to inherently trust the Chinese fighters less and less the more they learn about him. And as the bets come in, they're going to come in on, Mirad is, I believe, is he from Guam? He's a Guam fighter. I think the money is going to come on the guy from Guam. I think the money is going to come in on the Brazilian. I think the money is going to come in on the Mexican, all fighting the Chinese fighters. So, if you like one of the people who is fighting against the fighters from China, the Quinones or the Murad, like I said, I don't really like Karim Silva. But, if you like one of those would be the ones I'd say to get on early because, that Jacksonville card made Chinese fighters – coming from the Performance Institute, not looked that great, and made the competition at WLF look really bad. And I think Mirad is a guy who is a number you should jump on.
There you go. I see it anywhere as of Wednesday evening. As we record this, I see him, depending on where you're looking, anywhere from plus 130 up to plus 188. So you may even get him better than the plus 165 I quoted when I did the breakdown on. So. But these numbers seem to go crazy after we put our the podcast to bed every week, which all the more reason that you make sure you want to get it, listen to us immediately and on our MMA gambling podcast feeds. So who's getting contracts, Dan?
I'm almost positive. I love Javid Bashara. I don't mean to keep tooting his horn, but I think he walks out with a contract pretty easily. I think the UFC is going to be dumb to pass on Colton Englund. If he wins that fight, I think luckily for him, Manuel Torres is going to make him fight less technically safe than he typically does. And that may play well into his hands. He was already on Dana White's looking for a fight. He must not have looked good enough to Dana then, but I think technically he's really there. I think probably Quinones and Omar Gadzaev, just because I don't really respect their opponents all that much. Yeah. But Kui Hui Yan, I don't know so much about her. I don't think she's so ready. And Dana also seems to be writing off a lot of fighters who are 5-0 and being they're young, they'll come back. And Olivier Mirad has that feel to him.
Yeah. You would think if any of the Chinese fighters from their institute do win, you would think he would want to give them contracts probably, right? Make them look good? Make their development program look good?
But why not just sign him if that's the case then? And he's done that with some of them, and it didn't really work out with a lot of them. So I think he's trying this to be are we wasting money over there?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right, so that is that. I think we've given you guys enough good content. Plus, you're going to want to – everyone stop listening now to go rush off and make bets and all your picks. So we'll put this one to bed. We got some huge UFC events coming up, which is nice to see. We got back-to-back pay-per-views. UFC 267, we will be breaking down on Wednesday's podcast. And then next week, we will be doing UFC 268. So that is good news. But in the meantime, make sure you watch the fights on Tuesday. If you are watching them, come to the SGPN Slack channel. Look for the fights channel. Get in there, and you can have some fun with us talking about the fights and seeing which 1.2 fights Dan gets wrong this week, because he's guaranteed 80%, so he'll get one fight wrong plus 20% of another fight wrong. So I don't know how that's going to play out or how that's going to look in real life, but it'll happen somehow. Other than that, follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. Read all our stuff on MMA-Manifesto.com and at SportsGamblingPodcast.com. I guess that's all. Anything else we need to tell him, Dan?
No, you nailed it all.
All right. You want to take us home?
See if I, you think I'm the, again? I think I'm the Wednesday guy, but I'll take this one.
Right, no, go.
I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Juicy Jeff Fox, and we will see you next week.
Next week?
Wednesday. We'll see you Wednesday.